Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tony Bullock. I'm your host tonight, and soon we will be joined by your co-host, Sister Eileen Reed. In fact, I do believe she's there, so let me find out.
Hello, everybody. This is Eileen, your co-host for tonight.
Hey, Sister Reed, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Brother Bullock. How are you?
You know, I'm fine. I'm blessed to be here, and I'm glad that we got another day to come forward, put some information out there in the cosmos, and hopefully people will tune in and they'll talk back to us today and let us know how they're feeling about what we're getting ready to talk about.
All right, now.
And before we get into that, I do want to say that our call-in number is 563-999-3043. Also, I would like to give a shout-out to Sister Crystal Joyce and Pastor Floyd Harris, who held a Black Business Summit over the weekend this Saturday, sponsored by the We Movement, and I must say the turnout was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing, and I was so glad to see so many people from the community come out and get involved with one another and talk about their businesses and talk about the things that they were going through, and just people coming out, getting to know one another on the West Side once again. It's a long time coming, and it is really time for us to get back to that.
That's right. It was a diverse crowd of people, and there were many children there, which was really spoke well of the organizers, because that's how children are going to learn how to get along with each other, is by watching adults.
Yes, they are. And that was a beautiful thing. There were many, many children in attendance, and they were given the run of the building, and they were allowed to participate just like the adults. And that was one of the greatest things. Two of the young men from the Freedom School helped with the audio system. And these are the things that we must do. Teach them how to go forward and get involved.
That's right. That's right. So many of us from our generation came up learning how to do public speaking, learning how to play instruments, learning how to lead a choir. They learned that in church. So it was a very, very good event.
Yes, it was. And while we're talking about Freedom School, I do want y'all to know that Sister Eileen Reed, she is one of the founding members of Freedom School, and she helps direct our young Black youth in that program along with other students. They're just not all Black. We help all young people, although the main focus is our own, but we help them all. And tell them a little bit about that tonight, Sister Reed, right quick.
Well, Freedom School has been around for about 12 years. It was founded by Reverend Floyd Harris and Sister Jean Kennedy. And I know that Sister Kennedy wound up moving to Atlanta not long after that. And so Floyd has been building. I came along around 2016, and I've been on the board of Freedom School since then. And what Freedom School does is that we give a safe place for children to learn a variety of different things. Our ag program is our largest program, but not our only program. So we have agriculture, and the kids learn how to plant vegetables. They learn how to maintain them. They learn how to harvest. And then we have cooking classes where they learn how to cook the food, healthy food, organic food. We have a nutritionist who's going to be working with us, but even before she came on, we had nutrition classes where we talked about the importance of eating healthy. We've had cooking classes. We've had a book club. We have music lessons. And so there's a variety of things that children can learn at Freedom School. So we're very, very proud of it. As you said, it's a cultural program. It's based in our African-American tradition. But we don't turn anybody away. And I think that if children of different ethnicities do attend Freedom School, they're going to learn a lot and not just the history that they're learning in their regular schools. So we welcome everybody. We don't exclude anybody. And I have to say, and I shared this with the parents this past weekend at Free AME, at the event, that if you send your children to Freedom School, you won't have to worry about them being safe because we are going to take good, good care of them and make sure that they go back to you happy and healthy and hopefully in a better frame of mind than when they came. They're going to meet a lot of new friends. So with that being said, that's my spiel for Freedom School, because you know I could go on and on and on and on, Brother Tony. That's just
appreciate you saying that, because what you just said, that is a true statement. They will definitely come back with a bright and shining, functioning capability to be ready to deal with very much out there. And they will definitely be protected.
That's true. Very true. We take care of our kids at Freedom School, and we teach them to take care of each other, for them to look out for one another. They make the rules, you know, at Freedom School, and so it's not just adults telling them what to do. They are invested in the school just as we are. And so, you know, our hope is that by the time they're done, you know, going through the 12th grade, that they're ready to move on to college and to attend at HBCU, if that is their choice. You know, we move heavily towards pushing our kids through HBCUs. In fact, Reverend Harris's son, Floyd D. Harris III, I believe, is going to be graduating from Southern University this coming May. And so, you know, he's about, you know, like the, we've sent at least a dozen students through HBCUs that have started with Freedom School, gone through BYTT, and have attended HBCU. So we're very proud of that track record. And while there might be other programs out there with gardening programs, I'd like to see how many of them are in college and attending HBCUs. So that's one of the things that we've happy about. Yes.
I push HBCUs. Having a nephew and great nieces who have graduated from them and having relatives at them now. I know people always want to say, well, you know, you can get an education anywhere. Yes, you can, but you can get a quality education. Not saying nowhere else, but you can get a great quality education at an HBCU.
That's right. That's right. And it's important that we push that, because with all the things that are happening in the world with, you know, our young people being used for target practice in some respects, we need to make sure that when we send them off to college that we're sending them someplace safe. So that's, you know, I'm not saying crime doesn't happen in any particular location. I'm just saying that the odds are better that parents will have to worry less at an HBCU. Maybe I'm overstating that, but that's just my personal belief. That's my disclaimer. That's my personal belief.
I understand. And with you saying exactly that, that's going to lead us into what we are here to talk about tonight. And that will be the police brutality and the death of 29-year-old Brother Nichols in Memphis, Tennessee, who was beaten to death by black police officers. But as it is starting to come out, there were not only black police officers, but they were other officers involved. And now we come to find out that there was a white officer involved also. But somehow he has not been, he's been suspended, but he has not been fired. He still has a job.
And there's, okay. I know we're going to get to all that. I'm not going to jump the gun, but there were EMTs involved with that too, who are now being called to answer.
There were. There were EMTs also involved, and there were three, and they were terminated. One was a supervisor, and you had two EMTs.
Mm-hmm.
But we will definitely get into that.
Exactly.
So, with that, I'm going to start off, and this is something that's not easy for me. I'm gonna just be honest about it.
Well, I'm gonna be so. You say and do what you need to say and do.
Brother Tyree Nichols, 29 years old, a father.
4-year-old son. Yes.
How old was the son?
Four. 4 years old.
Okay. And he was a skateboarder. He was known in the community. And everything I've heard about this brother was that he was just like this easygoing guy.
Right.
And on January 7th, for whatever reason, these officers pulled him over. He was pulled out of the car, beaten, tased by the white officer, who then made this statement about, "I hope they stomp you to death."
Exactly. And that he was saying that was after Brother Tyree started running. Is that correct?
Yeah. Supposedly, but obviously, this brother was running for his life.
Exactly.
Because they had already started beating him.
Mm-hmm.
And what is starting to come out is, I guess when they wrote a report on this, the report said one thing about how irate this brother was and how he was fighting back and attacking the cops.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when you saw the video, none of that was seen.
He was speaking to them in a very calm voice. In fact, his voice, it was so moving for me, Brother Tony, because it was almost as though he's trying to reason with these men and say, look, you know, I'm trying to comply. I'm trying to reach you on a different level. I'm keeping my voice calm. And they just weren't having it. And now I understand that this all might have started because of a personal issue that, you know, one of the officers had with this young man. But the problem is, Brother Tony, is that whether there were personal issues involved or not, proper police procedure was not followed. And that's
followed at all.
Exactly.
And you are right. So now, as of today, so far, those particular officers were arrested. I hear that they're out on bond now. But they were quickly fired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the white officer still hasn't been fired or charged. And word is, there is another officer who is being looked at.
Mm-hmm.
See, the more this goes on,
And so we have this overlay of racial disparity with these officers with this whole umbrella of police misconduct. You have the black officers drawn and quartered, so to speak, and fired, you know, disciplined, fired, arrested, charged, you know, made bail and out. And the white officers still have a job. They're being investigated on maybe administrative leave, but they still have a job.
Yeah.
So the guilty people.
Yeah.
And so what do we make of this?
That's what I'm trying to find out. What does that say that, okay, and I'm not saying these guys need to keep their job. No. But I do find it strange that Officer Hemphill, who is the white officer, has only mm-hmm. been relieved of duty, not charged. He's
right.
still an officer.
Mm-hmm.
He's still an officer. So right. what's the difference in
exactly.
what he's done as opposed
exactly.
to what the others did? Because as far as I'm concerned, you tased the man. You set this off.
Exactly. You laid the foundation for that whole thing to go sideways. And it's frustrating because, you know, when I was doing the research for the show, Brother Tony, I started looking at all these names and some of these names of black men and women who have died. We're talking like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's going on historically. So when does it finally stop? And we know that this is about cop culture and, you know, and what that means to be an officer, to be indoctrinated into that particular brotherhood. Some would say gang. Some would say, you know, marauders. I mean, it gets to be a little tiring. But, you know, every time that you say it's okay for me to do, I'm going to read some names of some people who have been killed by the police.
Go right ahead.
Okay. And this is a name. I'm going to start with this young sister because a lot of people might remember her name. Her name is Taisha Miller. She was 19 years old. She was killed in December of 1998 in Riverside, California. And the sad part about Taisha Miller is that her family actually called the police because they found her asleep in a car, and they were trying to wake her up. They couldn't wake her up. The police showed up, and because she had a gun in the car, they're saying that she woke up, grabbed the gun, and so they had to shoot her, and they shot her, Brother Tony, 23 times.
Oh yeah, I remember when that took place. I was living in Vegas at the time, and it was one of the big stories in the Las Vegas area.
Exactly.
I remember when that took place.
Yeah, so that was 1998. And another name that I want to bring up is Willie Drumgold, who was killed in, I think it was 1983. I'm going back far, people, because we want to show you how big of a problem this is. Willie Drumgold was arrested in Richmond, California, was taken into custody, put in a police car, alive, unharmed. And by the time he got to downtown Richmond, California, Willie Drumgold was dead.
Right.
And this was a huge story at the time, too. So we're talking 1983, and this is still going on. So we've got Taisha Miller. We've got Willie Drumgold. We've got Trayvon Martin. We've got Tamir Rice. We've got Philandro Castillo. We've got Mike Brown. We've got Pamela Miller, Yvette Smith, Miriam Carey, Shelly Fry, and Darnisha Harris, who was 16 years old. She was killed in Louisiana. I've got a lot more, so I'm gonna pace it out.
Well, I see we have a caller on the air, so give me a moment. We're going to check this caller and see who we have joining us.
Yes.
Caller 6930, you're on the air with Brother Tony and Sister Eileen Reed. Who am I speaking with, please?
Good evening, comrades. This is Dr. Harris, caller here this evening.
All right, now.
Yes, sir. It is our speaker of the evening, Dr. Floyd Harris, pastor of Free AME, right. Social warrior.
Social warrior. God-fearing,
battler for the good, a man who will stand with you when times are rough. Dr. Harris, I appreciate you calling in.
Yes, first I just want to congratulate you for creating another show for the people. I think it's right on time. I think it's with the climate the way it is right now and all this stuff going on in the country. I think, for our community here in Fresno, better known as Mississippi Fresno, with all of the havoc that we have to deal with here in this community, I just want to really congratulate you and Sister Reed for, grabbing a bull by the horns, everybody don't know how to do this heavy lifting that we do. And I just think that right now, it's just a time right now where people are being oppressed, depressed, iron foot on their throat. And it's just really time for us to just stand up and be counted as men and women. Our ancestors did it, so why we can't do it in the 21st century? And I just want to say thank you. Took pressure off me because, I don't have to do shows every day of the week now because you're doing some of them.
I appreciate that, man. But, my thing is, I was doing my little independent blog, and then I decided, let me do it this way because, it gives people something else that they can kick into and find something out. And, with what happened with Brother Nichols, Pastor, I know you get up and you talk to folks every Sunday and you tell them don't despair and you comfort people in their time of need, but how does it look that a police department that has 2,000 officers and they are 58% black, okay, in a city that has a 64% black population, how does these black officers go out and beat one of our own? What could he have done to make them that mad?
Well, I've been, before I answer the question, I just want to let you know that if you notice, I call in on a different phone number. Right now, I have my laptop running with my listening audience on my live stream, listening to the show and watching the pictures as you posted them today. So you really have a larger audience tonight as well, which is good. It's really, we're finding out that there was some personal stuff that went on with this situation with the killing of our young brother. But before that, there's a culture that's in our police departments across America. And it really stems from us against them, them against us, right? And it's like, and I keep going back to the model that the Black Panther Party had back in the 1960s in Oakland, California, when they policed their own community, right? But I think what's different today is that, as our brothers and sisters had the right to bear arms to patrol their community, that constitutional right was raped from them, stripped from them by Ronald Reagan. So I'm leading up to something right now, which is very important. Because now what we have is that we have that culture of a RoboCop in cities across the country right now. It's shoot first, ask question later, beat the hell out of somebody. If you just look at the language that was being used,
Right.
Calling this young man who has five police officers on him, five police officers with Glocks on him, five police officers with tasers on him, and you have this man on the ground and you calling him a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that right there alone was just really, that's the culture of our police department. They don't look at us as human beings. They don't look at us as citizens of the United States of America. They look at us as like we're a piece of meat, right? And we're paying for this treatment. That's the other piece that bothers me. We're paying for this, right? Taxpayers paying their salaries, paying a chief of police, paying deputy chiefs, paying motorcycle officers. We're paying for this treatment, and then when something happened to us, it's like you suffer peacefully. You guys don't get upset. You know, we're going to escort you in the street if you want to march. See, we're the Black Panthers had the blueprint, but
yes.
It's the same government that wiped out them is the same government today throughout United Snakes of America
exactly.
That still has a district attorney on their side, which is against us, per se, right? They have prosecutors against us, per se, and the list just goes on, and then you have judges, and it's like, how can we as a people continue to be treated like our ancestors were being treated in Alabama with Bull Corner? It's the same concept. It's the same old dance with a different melody.
Exactly. And, you know, it has been stated the more things supposedly are supposed to change, the more they stay the same. But, you know, think about this. Now, in a time when they talk about body cameras and there's a camera everywhere, Yale and the University of Pennsylvania did a study that said there have been no reductions racially in fatal shootings despite the use of body cameras and closer media scrutiny. So what that tells me is they don't care about body cameras. They don't care about the media knowing what they're doing, and they still doing what they do.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I have to just add this, that Black people account for 13% of the U.S. population, and according to, I believe it's the Washington Times. This was like in late 2021, that Black people made up 27% of those fatally shot and killed by police. I mean, and if people want to check this, they can go to Mapping Police Violence. That's a nonprofit group that's been tracking this kind of behavior for a long time, I think since at least 2015, so they can go there and check it. But if we have proof with body cams and this is documented, so that just shows how entrenched this police culture is and why Black people, men and women, and young people keep dying.
Yeah.
And there's no accountability. See, that's the thing. This is why police push so hard against police reform. They don't want a review board. They certainly don't want a civilian review board. Or if they have one, like they had in Fresno, I think they had a civilian auditor finally in the city of Fresno. They give recommendations. Nothing happens. Nothing changes.
Yeah,
so
it's a board, Sister Aline. It's kind of like having a Rottweiler or a pit bull with no teeth in their mouth. All they got is gums. Pretty much what these boards are, that they want to give us a pacifier to make us feel and think that, you know, hey, you know, we're listening, we're this, and we're that. And, you know, it just got to a boiling point right now where the community really, you know, the community, I'm not talking about politicians, I'm talking about the community, mm-hmm. really is going to have to police their own community and mm-hmm. set the standards, set the priority across the country. I mean, just look at Congress right now. Look at them, you know. If anybody in the United States can pass policy quick and fast, it's them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what are they doing? Oh, well, we're trying to figure out if we're going to have a budget or not. And while we're getting murdered across the country day in and day out, I mean, just look at Fresno. Fresno has the worst police department in the country, okay? And there's body footage here. We fought to get cameras here, you know, and to put on the cops, but they can turn it off and on at their leisure.
Yes,
right?
They can.
We can cut the camera on. We can cut it off. And there have been some cops caught with not turning on their body cam. See, it's too much power and Brother Tony, you got to understand that the camera that caught these police officers, I'm told it's one of their own cameras that was mm-hmm. filming at that corner right there. I thought it was somebody filming from an apartment building. They said, no, that's their own city camera that caught them beating that young brother.
Yeah, it
just
was.
Just Fresno. We have a cop, Brother Isaac, may he rest in peace, was running away from the police. And see, when you start dealing with police policy and procedures, there are certain protocols you're supposed to take. A police officer is not supposed to pull their revolver or their weapon unless they are being threatened or their life is being threatened, which we know how that goes. You know, you just look at a cop. Oh, I felt threatened. I'm going to shoot you because you looked at me wrong or side-eyed it, right? But we had a young man named Isaac who was running away from the police here in Fresno. He hopped a fence, like a 6-foot fence or 7-foot fence, mm-hmm. running away from the police, and the police pulled his revolver and shot him right in the head. And you know what he said after he shot him in the head? Good shot.
Yeah, he did.
So what is this language about protect and serve? And I don't understand. That needs to be redefined for me. What does protect and serve? Who are you protecting? Who are you serving?
Exactly.
Because the people
exactly.
you're serving, you're actually going out here murdering us day in and day out. And see, and Brother Tony, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to yield back to you and Eileen. The police chief, which is a lady, I believe, in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is.
I don't know. I'd like to get y'all opinion. I don't think she's trying to cover anything up. I think she's saying we need to clean house, you know, up under my leadership, because I didn't know that this Scorpion unit was out here terrorizing people. So they need to go back and look at reports on every person in that city that they came in contact with, the Scorpion unit. Matter of fact, they need to go through every file of this police department. But I just don't believe it's just a Scorpion unit. I believe there's more cops in this police department. I think you said it was 200 that's doing the same thing. But they need to go back and look at each one of those arrests and see, was those arrests done illegally or was they done legit? And I yield the floor back to you.
All right. And the thing about that is, Police Chief Shirley Ann Davis, she got her hands full, because one of the first things out there said, and now I know you're noticing this, first thing someone said was, this is what happens when you have a black woman in charge.
Ooh.
Now, she's out there trying to run a police department when she needs to be at home trying to take care of her damn kids. Now, that was said by somebody in her city, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But also notice today, there's a brother, T.K. Waters. He's a sheriff in Jacksonville. First thing out of his mouth was, well, what happened was inconceivable. It never should have happened. Shouldn't have went down that way. But I can tell you now, they don't need no civilian review board. I'm not with that here in Jacksonville. We don't have that. If you want something to take care of, you just need to call me.
See,
a brother who's police chief in Columbus, Ohio, almost made the same statement. Now, Columbus, Ohio, Jacksonville, Florida, both of those cities have had issues themselves where minorities and police shootings are concerned. So how are you going to throw rocks and then try to hide your hand?
Well, you know what? Let me. I want to just interject this, piggybacking on both of what both of you guys just said, both of y'all just said, because Rev was saying that they need to look at all the arrests, and I agree. But I've done a little bit of research, and this is something from USA Today from September 30th, 2021, and it says more than half of police killings in the United States are not reported in official government documentation.
No, they're not.
It says that an estimated 55% of deaths from police violence from, say, 1980 to 2018 were misclassified or unreported. So, my God, we don't really know or have an accurate count of how many people the police are killing, maiming, beating because of this reporting. So this goes right back to the culture. So, Brother Tony, this says right back to what these police chiefs are saying, like, well, you know, they should just come to me. We don't need a review board. You know, it's because the person in charge, you know, should really don't put a woman in charge. You know, let's do this a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Give me a moment. I want to check to see what we have going on here. 1 minute.
Okay. And while he's doing that,
Caller 1111, you're on the air. Are you there?
Yeah, but I'm in an Uber right now. When I get to my destination, I was going to jump in with y'all, but I'm just listening while I'm riding.
All right, so what I'll do is I will mute you, and when you're back, we'll bring you back in.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to say a couple more names of people who passed because of police violence. Okay, thank you, Brother Tony. Tatiana Jefferson, she was killed at her home. Breonna Taylor, also killed at her home. Renisha McBride was killed while sitting in a car. Sandra Bland was killed during a traffic stop. Sandra Bland from Texas. Yvonne Smallwood, who was killed while cashing a check. And Sister Corinne Gaines was killed while holding her child. So that's just a few more names of people who just happen to be women who were killed by police violence.
And we already know, like Pastor Harris said, we already know they don't think of us as a total human. What is it, 3/4 of a human?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how they're looking at us now?
Well, yes. Apparently so.
Yeah. I was thinking about what this police person had to say in Columbus, Ohio. And last year, Columbus, Ohio was the most dangerous city in America. They had more shootings. They had more shootings than L.A. and Atlanta. Do you know how tough you have to be going to beat out L.A., Atlanta, and Chicago?
That's true, because Chicago's pretty rough, and L.A. ain't no joke. So,
but yet, you want to try to throw stones at somebody.
Yes.
See, that's the whole thing.
You know,
even here in Fresno, we have had our share, and I'm sorry, I can speak to this because I've been here for a while. I've lived on the West Side. I come from the U, 900 block. I've seen the police in action on the West Side.
Uh-huh.
We have had our own shootings. We've had our own shootings that didn't make sense. like the young brother that they chased up into that field where that satellite campus is going to be, where that farmer used to live that had the cotton fields and the big house back up in there. They chased that brother back up in there and shot and killed him.
Yes, they did.
He was unarmed. He had no weapon. But yet somehow he got shot and killed.
Exactly. So people want to try to put a Band-Aid on what is an open and bleeding wound. I mean, some people are saying, okay, well, we need to have just a traffic division where only traffic cops are making these traffic stops. But it's more than just that. It's like no matter what we do, we're going to get killed and demonized, no matter what. And we know that if the cops are shooting people the way that we know that they are across this country, what else are they doing? And I want to just put something on everybody's mind to think about. If they have no problem beating, killing, shooting, what else are they doing while they're on duty in uniform? Are they raping people? Are they making traffic stops and raping women? There was a case in Oakland in 2017, I believe, where there were more than a dozen Oakland cops who were regularly, you know, having relations with this 19-year-old prostitute. And this girl was able to prove that she was being abused by police and was granted, I guess, by the courts almost $1 million. But the point is that how many other women, and this was a young black sister, how many other women are taken advantage of by police? So it's not just us getting killed. It's a form of abuse that you can imagine that people are suffering.
Well, you know, last year in Seattle, they had an officer who was stalking this lady, and he broke into her house and raped her. Mm-hmm. What he did not know was she had one of those stuffed bears with a camera in it, a nanny cam.
Mm-hmm.
And it filmed the whole thing.
This is what we're talking about. And every police officer who violates somebody's rights and takes a life needs to be in prison. Who was it that said just the other day, I think it was yesterday on Rev's show, he was talking about that officers need to be held to a higher standard of care. Well, that's true.
Well, that's true. Pastor, you know, you're out there. You have a lot more dealing with the police and with the court system than average folks, because you get called in a lot. Don't you think that they should be held to a higher standard?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah,
most definitely they should be held to a higher standard, but they're not held to a higher standard when it comes to civilians making mistakes or accidentally or whatever you want to say. The book is thrown at us. But when police officers do something, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we're going to go light. But a goose is good for the gander. They're humans just like we're humans. We pay as taxpayers each and every day. I thought I heard someone say they were driving Uber or something. Well, they're paying into the system. We're all paying into the system. My grandma, may she rest in peace, she paid into the system. So if we're paying for something, then we should want what's best and what's excellence, and we're not getting that right now. And so you're right. Many, many people call up on me. I went to Madera, California, where a police officer, woman police officer, handcuffed Brother El Dorado, put him back in the police car. He was kicking the doors, and she said she thought she pulled her taser. And everybody knows if you're handcuffed, you can't, you know, unlock the door because there's no latches in the back of the seat, right?
No.
And so she turned around and pulled her Glock and put a bullet right through his chest, handcuffed in back of the seat in Madera, California, 20 minutes from Mississippi, Fresno. And what's interesting about the case was, again, the district attorney found a clause or found a law in California and said that she accidentally shot him. So they brought no charges upon that police officer. She left and went to go work for another police department somewhere, and I was told she went back to Madera to go to work years later. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. You know, Dylan Noble here in Fresno, California, right in front of the cops, you know. And I don't know if you remember that case.
Yeah,
they shot him
young
on the ground. They shot him on the ground. He had no weapon. He had anything. They should have let the canine dog go. Right?
Yep.
But no, we're trigger happy. You know, we want to shoot first, shoot him, kill him, and then now the community and the family has to go through the marching, the protesting, blah, 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 and then make matters worse when they settle out of court. They make the family sign a disclaimer to say, oh, well, you can't protest anymore. You can't do any more activism. And so then the case is dead. You know, we had our other brother in Southeast Fresno. Can't think of his name right now. Can't think of his name.
What?
Brother Freddie.
Freddie.
Brother Freddie had a mental condition, and the beat cops knew who he was. And they would say, you know, go back in your yard, you know, go back, you know, everything's okay. But there was two new cops patrolling that area. And Brother Freddie was walking down the sidewalk like he always do. He had a garden handle in his hand, and the police looked, pulled up on him within 2 seconds, unloaded 12 or 15 shots within two seconds on Brother Freddie. And he had no weapon or anything. He was mentally challenged. Stuff like that, you know, is what we continually have to deal with. But yet the police department comes out in our community with bounce houses and hot dogs and patting our children on the head at the age of 5, shooting them in the head, shooting them in the back at the age of 15. And, you know, that stuff is old. You know, we had another case in West Fresno where a young man was sitting up there, SWAT team was following the whole day right on Strotter, and they rammed his car. He jumped out. And he's running for his life, and they pulled their gun and shot the brother in the back. You know, he had no weapon, no anything. And they went to court for at least 2 or 3 years, and come to find out, the brother had no weapon. Oh, but he's a gang member, though. That has nothing to do with you putting a bullet in this brother's back, running from you. So.
Exactly.
Again, it's the culture of how this policing was created in America from slavery. That virus is still here. Now it has gotten into our black people, our African people here, and now it's like Malcolm X said, now the chicken is coming home to roost. Now we're turning on each other. So it's just a vicious cycle that
like I have said before. And I'll say again, for whatever reason, it seems like once these brothers, and I can't say all of them, but it appears that some put on a badge, put on that uniform, and they buy into that, well, we're not black anymore, we're blue, and the thin blue line will protect us no matter what we do out there. Now, mm-hmm. these same brothers who beat young brother Tyree Nichols, now it's coming out that they've had problems in the community, beating women down, domestic abuses, pulling guns on people in places. Don't you know who I am? I wear a badge. You know, stuff like this. Now, if you knew they were out here doing this, how come somebody didn't put them in check?
But those are the kind of people that a lot of police and sheriff's department want. I mean, you will find this domestic violence is rampant in a lot of police households. I mean, when I remember Bob Tillman, who was an assistant coach at our high school, former alma mater,
Edison High School, and he's the one who kills his woman, Marjorie Mason, the same one, Marjorie Mason, that the Domestic Violence Center is named for. He held her captive in the house for 3 days, raped her repeatedly, and they didn't storm his house. They didn't go in and get him, and there have been repeated complaints about Bob Tillman and his behavior, but that did not stop them from doing nothing.
The sheriff department and the police department did not do their jobs.
No, and they knew they weren't going to do it, but they're looking for these kind of people, people who have a propensity for violence. Violence in America is as American as apple pie.
So,
and I can't remember Malcolm who said that, but it's true.
But so how do we as citizens combat this? Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to come a point in time, and y'all have heard me say it before, I'm going to stop singing and start swinging.
Well, I think we need to revert to policing our own neighborhood.
Just like we did when the Panthers were around. Yeah, we need to get back to that.
There was a time, I can't remember exactly what date this was. I don't know if you were still living here at the time, Brother Tony, but Reverend Harris, you might remember this when I think it was 100 black men were doing walkabouts in different neighborhoods in Southwest Fresno. Do you remember that, Rev?
Yeah, I remember it.
Okay. That's what we need to be doing, because otherwise, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better for us, and the police are going to have be free range, you know, killing, just like they're doing now.
One of the other things that get up under my skin is the fact that our so-called city leaders, our mayors, our county supervisors, our city council, instead of these folks getting out, talking, holding neighborhood symposiums, they only meet together. They only get together when they're scheming on where they're going to steal some money from, or who they going to pat on the back and say, you know, I got this problem over in the neighborhood. Show with like if he go over there and do something for me.
Yeah.
And we got that problem right now in West Fresno.
Yeah, we do.
See, there are several people over there who getting paid to look the other way where their community is concerned and agree with stuff that's happening that shouldn't be happening.
Exactly.
You getting something added to your church? Are you getting something added to your community center that you're building for your glory? That God's yours.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
People got to stop selling their soul.
Exactly. And I, you know, brother, this is the scary part. When we do sell off our souls, I don't know how many people saw that PBS Independent Lens about Ernest Withers, who was a photographer in Memphis and who was also a spy for the FBI and was getting paid for it. See, these are the kind of sellouts. Yes. So it's like the sister said, she didn't know if this brother was a friend or a foe, because he was everywhere in the black community taking pictures. Little did they know, he was also feeding that information to the FBI. So we do have people in our community who have given us up.
Well, it's what we went through. It's what we went through with the Panthers. You know, people who were mad because they didn't hold a certain position, and they done sold out because the FBI didn't promise them, well, you know, if you help us take Huey down, you help us take Eldridge down, you help us take Bobby down and Kathleen down, we can put you in that spot. And, you know, we'll work with you. And they went to prison and jail just like everybody else.
Me? Hello. Tell it, brother. Tell it.
I'm going to check back on this caller. Let me see if he has something to say. caller, 1111. Are you able to speak now?
Oh no, I'm still in trap.
All right, my brother. Well, hey, we're gonna be off in about 3 or 4 minutes, but you know, you can say something right quick and we'll let you go.
I mean, y'all good, man. Y'all kept the ride smooth. I'm listening to y'all. I'm good,
man. All right, my brother. Hey, you be safe out there, man.
All right, same to you, bro.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're listening.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. The brother said, hey, we kept his ride smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing is, as Black Americans, you know, we've been through so much. And whenever we speak on getting so little, they complaining. We should.
Mm-hmm.
We've been mistreated. And, you know, somebody say something about reparations and how they going to ask for reparations? What have we, what did we do to them that they feel like they need to get paid? Really?
Exactly. Well, you know what? We built this country. And thanks to segregation, Jim Crow, and all that other nonsense that white people built up, they're continuing to benefit from everything that we helped build. And so we deserve reparations.
Yes, sir.
And I defy anybody to say that we don't.
Well, Pastor Harris, we are coming towards the end of our show. So give us a few more words. And then we're going to turn it over to Sister Eileen.
Well, thank you, brother, for, again, creating this show. We'll be maybe doing our show earlier in the day instead of night, probably around 11 o'clock or so, or 12 noon, Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. But one of the things I just want to tell everybody, thank all my listening audience on my live stream for tuning in tonight. We want to support Brother Tony Bullock, Sister Eileen. And one of the things that I say, we educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize, and take our community to a higher level. And I'll go ahead and say goodnight.
Hey, we appreciate you, Pastor. Thank you very much for stepping in, because I know you got your hands full tonight, but that's how you operate. You are always on the move and on the go, and it's one of the things I love about you. And also, I'm going to need to get with you because, yes, I'm doing this, but there's a few things I can't get my head around, and I know you know because you the guy. You know how to do this in your sleep, so I'm going to give you a call at some point tomorrow, and I'm going to need you to answer your phone so we can talk about it.
All right. Okay. All right.
Sister Reed, give me
yes,
words. Give me words. Hey, you know
all
what?
Right.
I appreciate you hanging with me because I am not that easy drink of water, but you hang right in there with me. And the one thing I love about you is you will keep me in check. You'll pull my coattail and like, look. And I love it.
Rev says I do the same thing for him, but I'm really just, you know, a sweet old lady. I don't know what they're talking about, y'all. I don't bother nobody.
Give me word, girl. Give me word.
Give me your clothes. Okay. Well, you know, folks, if you've heard me on the shows with Reverend Harris and Brother Tony, you know what I'm going to say. And I always say, stay black till we get back with you.
And that is the one thing we are definitely going to do. For those of you who tuned in and those of you listening out there in the atmosphere, we appreciate you. Appreciate you big time, because this is how information gets out. And this is what we got to get back to doing, talking with one another and making sure that we pass it on just like the griots do. So like I always say, each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are fishing with your arms, take your folks to the range, get them set up. Start a neighborhood watch, start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us.
king.